Yeah. Yes, 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 yes. What's up, y'all? This is MC Dill. Welcome, 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 welcome to the Boom Bap Chat. So excited for tonight's show because we are going to be talking about one of the greatest MCs ever, ever, ever. We're going to get into that. Yo, what's up, everyone? I am MC Till, and tonight I'm representing Plug 2. Profound.
Yo, yo, yo. What the deal? What's happening, everybody? I'm Profound, and I'm representing Dave from De La Soul.
Ayo,
what up?
Hey, yo, peace. I am Asmarad, and I am representing Plug 2 tonight. That's right. For sure.
And what's up, everybody? My name is Bo Brown, and I am representing Dave Jalakor.
That's right.
So,
Trugoy the Dove, man, rest in peace to Trugoy. Tonight's show, we thought we would just take a moment from having, you know, our normal guest routine and just chop it up with the crew, just to pay homage, pay respect to one of our favorite MCs of all time. We're all De La Soul heads here. Love Paz. You know, love Maceo, love Trugoy. So we thought we'd take tonight just pay homage, pay respect. Our guy Jirai might be stopping by in a little bit to help us with that. So yeah, so that's what we're going to get into tonight. So if you're watching on Facebook tonight and you want to make your comments known, just, you know, comment below and we'll try to get to that and read those comments on the air. So, all right, fellas, first off, would love to hear what, if you remember your first experience with Dave, and if you can't remember Dave specifically, just De La Soul, what was your first experience with Dave or De La Soul? Bro, you got something? I see you shaking your head. You got
a couple. I think my first encounter was definitely hearing on Video Music Box or one of the stations that played music videos. Hip hop music videos back in like early 90s. And of course it was me, myself, and I, the big hit that the label really pushed was like an entryway, and I liked it. And then later on, hearing it on Keenan and Kel really like sparked that in me as well. Like, oh man, I remember De La Soul. And this was like maybe mid-90s when Keenan and Kel, when I heard the beat again. So I went and started listening again, and it grabbed a hold of me, De La Soul, and particularly Dave, kind of late. I was always a Pasta Noose fan, first and foremost, but it wasn't until the Grind Date on Much More, his verse on Much More, is one of my... if not my favorite verses, and Verbal Clap, like just coming out swinging on those first couple songs. And then seeing him on the Dave Chappelle show. And it was just like, this guy is a beast. And like, I kind of undervalued him early on. So it's been cool and bittersweet reminiscing on his life and my experience with him and what his verses have meant to me and who he was as an MC and as a human being.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So how about you, Pro?
It was me, myself, and I as well for me. Just the whole group as a whole when I got put on to them. And I think immediately after that was the Buddy remix. This was what was really popular, especially in the Midwest.
Yeah.
But as it continued on, man, he always was so chill, man. Like, even in the videos, he was all like, they all cool. I think Maceo might be the wild one out of the crew. But he was always so chill, man. And I think like it says a lot about his character and his lyrics too, because he was always so chill, but it was always so deep. Always so deep. It was no way. It was like he had no wasted motion at all. There were no wasted words, you know, no wasted lines or nothing. But my first experience is that Buddy remix from And then first off, I remember thinking like when I first saw the video, me, myself, and I, like, why they dress like that?
Right. Yeah.
you know, it was my initial thought. And then when I left my wallet in El Segundo and seen Tribe, and was like, they was kind of dressed the same. And then I didn't put those two together until the Buddy remix. And then that was it for them, for me. But Bo, I have to co-sign, you know, like, as well on the verbal clap and the much more.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's so hard to pick, like, man.
Yeah.
We could do a whole book on his verses. Yeah.
Dave got verses, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dave got verses, bro.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Hearing him on Grind Date and then going back to like Stakes Is High and like, wow, he was really spitting heat. Yeah. And I kind of overlooked him because, you know, like I said, with Pasta News' style. But yeah, he had it all along. It's just when you recognize somebody's brilliance for the first time, it's a cool experience.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Almas, how about you? Can you reminisce the first time?
I think my first encounter with Dave and De La Soul was, well, y'all know my older cousin Leon was very influential with me in hip hop, and he lived right around the corner. So after high school, after we went to school, we would go to his house and we watched Rap City and we watched Potholes in My Lawn. That was like my first, and I was blown away, man, when I saw that video. And then at the rec center, it was a spot we used to go hoop at all the time called Rec Center. And somebody brought a boombox in and they played Me, Myself, and I all night. That's all they played, like over and over and over again. And then just, I was an oddball in high school because everybody was on Tupac, NWA. I was the only one that was listening to like De La, because I transferred from the school that I went with my cousin. And everybody else was on NWA, and I was like the only cat that was on like that. Me and another dude was on De La, heavy, like, you know what I'm saying? And then Dave is the reason why I dress the way I dress today. Mm. Like, going to see him at shows, he always wore stuff that was accessible, but he did it different. Like, he would wear a hoodie, but one arm would be out, and then the other arm would be, you know what I mean? He was always like, and he was into baseball caps and watches. Like, I remember going to a De La Soul concert and he had a Nike watch. And I went to the Nike town the next day and bought the watch that he had based off of what he had on. Like, because he was into like baggy stuff. Like, I literally dressed the way I dress today because of Dave. Like,
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? So that's like even more so today, I'm going to do it more now. Yeah. Just to pay homage to him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I have many memories of De La Soul, but I remember the first De La Soul memory. I'm sure I heard some of the music before this, but I remember being at my cousin's house in Indianapolis. We lived in Southern Indiana at the time. And we were up visiting some family up in Indianapolis. And I remember I don't know which cousin it was. There's still some dispute in the family of which cousin actually recorded 3 Feet and High and Rising for me on tape. But one of my cousins did. They had it and they recorded it for me, but we didn't have enough time to get both sides recorded. And I've written about this in one of our books. And so I had this half of the Stakes Is High album, not Stakes Is High, 3 Feet High and Rising album. And I just thought it was the greatest thing ever. It was just so good. And then I found out there was more. There's like, oh, there's another side. And man, I love that album. That was probably the most influential album in my life. And what I remember specifically around Dave is when I was a kid, you know, as lots of kids do, they put posters and things on their walls. And I had this one wall where I put up all hip hop artists and I'd like cut out, you know, clippings from like The Source and whatnot. And I remember this one picture of De La Soul and he's like this. He's got the hand over his eye. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Or maybe, I can't remember. I think it was like this. He had the thumb down. And so that was on my wall. And so that was like a picture I looked at all the time. And it was just like a little thing, a small thing. Like you said, I almost like, you know, he wore like accessible clothing, but he wore different. Like he took a normal picture, but he threw his hand up across his face. Like, you know, it's a simple thing, but it was made him distinctly unique, you know, which I think is cool. So I'm going to break just for a second and welcome Jirai. into the conversation and see if he remembers his first experience with De La Soul.
Brother Gerard.
For those that don't know, Gerard's a dope hip-hop artist, a dope guy. Sir. Got a clean setup right there. Got a good background. Nice fresh orange shirt for those that are not or are just listening to the podcast. His audio is connecting, so we'll give him a second. But there we go. Gerard, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Peace.
Peace. How y'all doing? Y'all can hear me?
Yes, sir. Yeah, sounds good.
Peace. Yeah, what's going on?
What's good with the guy, bro?
Yeah, man. We were just talking to De La Soul, first experiences with Dave or first experiences with De La Soul. Do you remember like going back in time? Do you remember like an early memory you have of Dave or just De La Soul in general?
The first memory that I remember was I think it was the Buddy video. I think it was the Buddy video.
Mini.
Like, yeah. Uh-huh. So I didn't really know who they were at the time, but I remember a lot of people in the video on the song. I remember seeing Queen Latifah for the first time there. Mm. And I think Moni Love. And I was heavy. I was into Tribe before I got into De La. And so it was kind of weird because I had to backtrack. So I got into Tribe later. Then I backtracked to the Buddy video and saw De La. But the main thing that I remember is hearing everybody talk about when Midnight Marauders came out, everybody talking about De La Soul because, you know, they did the album cover with all of the faces on it. And I know what a lot of people don't know is different versions of the album cover had different people's faces on it.
Right.
So cassette tape that I bought didn't have De La on there. And me and my best friend who kind of put me on the trial was like, yo, I wonder what's going on. De La's not on here. And I was like, what? Like, what's up in the Buddy place? He was like, yeah, Q-Tip. De La's not on here. So we were trying to figure out what was going on with them. But once I heard Buddy, and then I heard right after Buddy, I'm late. So like it's like 96. I saw It's So Easy. And one of the local DJs down here, DJ Prince Ice, played So Easy on the radio. And I just remember the horns and the sample. And when I saw the video, they was in high school, I was like, yo, this is crazy. And you know, that's all day. That's like one of my favorite videos and songs from them. So yeah, man. I love Dayla. I love Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. Well, thank you for sharing that experience, Dry. And we're just going to be kicking it about De La Soul, you know, all hours. So you're welcome to stay on as long as you like. If you need a dip too, that's fine. But we appreciate you being here and helping us. Yeah, pay respect, man.
I'll hang out for a minute.
Yeah, man. When you need a dip, it's all good, man. All good, man.
Yeah.
So, fellas, I'm curious to know, you know, we've been thinking a lot about Dave. We've probably been going back listening to songs just to listen for Dave's verses right now. Curious to know if there's any verses that come to mind when you think about Dave, some of your favorite Dave verses. Iomas, I know you got one, man.
Yeah, you already know which one is the one he, the business, man. He set it off. Set it off, man. And when I found out that he passed away, that's the first song that I played. And I like the line where he said, because even when I'm gone, I'm reappearing in the after.
I have to
give respect to real money makers. Money, you know what I mean? So I was like, he's still here. Like, just the fact that he's reappearing in the after, he said.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, that's like my favorite. That's my favorite Dave verse. And I would say It's So Easy. That's one too. And then trying
out people.
Trying. And then the one that Profound was talking about before you went on live.
Doggy Dog.
Yeah, man. He went in on that one.
Yeah.
Doggy Dog. It's just so many verses. But those are the ones that come to mind right now. You know what I mean? But my favorite of all time is The Business. He went in.
Yeah.
But he blacked out on that verse.
Yeah. Bo, you mentioned a couple verses earlier. What's a few of your favorite verses from Dave?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely much more in Verbal Clap rank up there. You know, Rock Cake, Rock Cocaine Flow, like Grind Date is just such a special album to me.
It is.
And with Verbal Clap, like on much more, like when he came in, it's been instilled in me since Infinite Y'all. Using these minutes like I used to call.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like it's he had such an authoritative tone and on that album and really all his albums. But I like a lot of the stuff on De La Soul's Dead, like Ring 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 and Roller Skating Party and it's hard to like nail it down, but it's definitely my favorite verses of his are on Grind Date. There's just a whole vibe associated with that album. I was in college when it came out. It was fall, like air was crisp. I had the windows down. Like, yeah, just a lot of good memories associated with that.
Yeah.
Chappelle was on. So they when he was on there, I'm kind of getting off track, but that wasn't the one in the kitchen. That was Common and Kanye, wasn't it?
Bus.
Yeah.
They were on the bus.
They were on the bus.
Yummy, the Yummy was on there singing.
Yeah, Yummy. Yeah.
And he had the Incredible Hulk glove.
I remember exactly now. Yeah.
Man.
So
I love it.
Yeah, definitely Grind Date. His verses on there just were incredible to me.
Yeah. I love it's just a side note since you brought up Grind Date. I love when a group like De La Soul that has classic albums under their belt comes out years later, decades later, and puts out an album that for a lot of people that like heard De La Soul for the first time, that's their favorite album, you know? And for some people that know De La Soul's whole category, you know, catalog, that's still their favorite album.
Right.
I love that, you know, so such high caliber artistry right there. So Jirai, you have a favorite Dave verse that comes to mind, man, for you?
Y'all said them all. trying. It's so easy. I mean, much more like, and I don't have a particular verse, but this album, a lot of people don't talk about when they did the first serve. A lot of people don't talk about because they took on like the alter egos and kind of told the story. I think with that whole album, Dave kind of shined, having a different perspective. And they did the ad-libs where he was doing the different voices, like the voice of his mom and stuff like that. Like telling the story of kind of being involved in hip-hop culture and how the business comes in and all of that. So Dave just, his thought process was, like you said, it was authoritative. He was focused, but his wordplay was crazy. You know what I mean? And he would do little subliminal, like in the window things that you will have to catch later. So, man, it's just, anything on Stakes is high.
Yeah, I feel that. Man, I'm glad you brought First Serve, man. Those skits were hilarious on there. Maurice!
Yeah, man.
Get up here, Maurice! And I think he was, what do they call him? My Witter. The mom.
Yep.
I think he played that role.
I think that was him. Yeah,
it sounded like his voice. Yep. So
yeah, man. People don't talk about that album enough, like for the
that's
how funny it was and how artistic
that's
and the story behind it too.
Yeah, for sure. How about you, Pro? You got any Dave verses that we have not discussed yet?
Nah, because I'm not gonna dare pick a favorite. I'm gonna say that they all are dope. You know
all
what
are
I mean?
Dope.
Like, I think that's what's so dope about De La in general. Is that depending on the mood, you know, something will hit you, you know, trying people, Dave's verse hits me as well as Posse's verse hits me. Like they were both relatable, personally relatable.
Yeah.
But then there are times when It's So Easy just fits, you know, my mood and what's going on right at the moment too, or much more, you know what I mean? Like it's like I wouldn't even dare. And Bo, I'm with you. Grind Date is actually really high on my list of De La. That's the album that's usually on repeat for me.
Yeah.
And Stakes is High.
Sure.
But man,
That's,
you know,
Stakes.
as I'm going back and listening to this entire catalog, it's like,
Yeah.
It's like the 96 Bulls. It's not fair, bro.
Man, it's not, bro.
Yeah.
Like
it's that.
It's not fair. Like, and when they released their catalog, man, I went down them all, but the one that I kept going to is that Balloon Mind State, man. I couldn't get past it might blow up, but it won't go pop. That's me, bro. Like, you know what I mean? That album. Yeah. I love all it.
Go ahead, sir.
No, I was just like, yeah. Grind Day, you can go from Grind Day to Stakes to Balloon Mind State to even the new one, The Anonymous Nobody. You know what I'm saying?
That joint.
Got a solid catalog, man.
They do.
Solid catalog, bro.
There's a few verses I wanted to highlight. The joint he did on Simply Having. I don't know if y'all remember. Where he channels the energy of Nice and
Greg,
Smooth on there.
Yeah, Greg.
I thought that was super dope. I remember first hearing that. I was like, what? Wait, what's going on here?
Bionics. Okay,
I love that joint.
Simply Having is right, that's the little Luckaluchian is right after that song,
and even
mix of that joint. Dope.
And then Held Down comes on, then we get into Pasta Noose and his genius verse on there. But anyway, Baby Fat's also on that album.
Yeah.
And I love the content of that.
Love that too.
So
make the big patties look like little patties.
You know what I'm saying? Eat the whole box of chocolates I send to you. You got a tummy? I got a tummy too.
Man, right.
Let me wash your weight. Don't let it trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
That's my joint, bro. All
right. I got a fun I don't know if y'all ever heard their like mixtape. I forget what it was called. But it was kind of like a mixtape. It was like unreleased joints that they did.
That joint was dope.
Yeah, it was a really dope joint that they did. But anyway, they had, remember the What If? They had this little reoccurring skit where he talked about what if, you know, they got this beat or what if this happened. So we want to throw out a what if scenario. What if Dave did a solo album? Who would you see producing that joint? Is it one producer? Is it multiple producers? You know, is it short and sweet, like 8-9 songs? Is it long? Are there skits on it? No skits? Are there guest features? How would you envision a Dave solo album? Who wants to take a stab at it first for our What If edition? What you think, Almas?
I mean, for me, I think he would keep it in the family. You know what I'm saying? You'll get a couple from Prince Paul. He'll probably produce some. Pops. Yep. Maceo, and they'll probably round it off with some Dilla, you know what I'm saying? But I could see it being long, and I remember an interview where they asked him, when is the De La Soul documentary is coming out, like right after Tribe dropped their documentary, and he was like, you know what, everybody's doing documentaries, I would rather do it'd rather be like a stage, what's the name of the play that everybody was on where they was rapping?
Hamilton.
He was like, I'd rather like to do like a Hamilton rendition of like De La's story. So I could see him like probably doing like something like that, like an audio version of like a play or something like that with the music in between. Like I could see him doing something like that.
That's dope.
But it'll be definitely outside the box. It'll be something that we never experienced before with him.
Yeah.
Because he's such a super creative.
Yeah.
So,
For sure. Dry, you have any thoughts on that?
Man, the first thing I thought when you said that was, I thought about Dilla's Rough Draft album and how he was like, we're going to take it back to the cassette tape era. And I could see Dave doing something like that, like either on Dilla production, on Super Dave West, but taking it back to where they started initially with the more of a, with the analog sound, like taking it back to the original flows that they were doing like in the first three albums, because they elevated and he elevated and they kind of changed with the time as far as the sound is concerned. But like Iamos was saying, like, I think he would take it back to almost like their original demo tape styles. Yeah. I would like to see the flow that he had grew into on some of that that older sound, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But making it modern. I think if anybody would have been able to do that, it definitely would have been him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was it called? The Art of Speak? Isn't that what they called it? It was the Art of Speak, right? Yeah.
That's dope. What about you, Pro? You got any thoughts on the what if?
Yeah, I'm executive producing it right now.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to be one producer. I think, I don't think it'll be a bunch, but I think it'll be key people. It'll be Q-Tip or the Uma. I think you put Madlib in there.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason I hear Dave and Easy Mo B. And then MC wise, I definitely hear Blue.
Ooh. Okay.
See that?
You know what I mean? Like Blue and Dave together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ain't even think Dave about features. Dang.
Dave and Drez.
I didn't think about features either.
Yeah, dang. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be dope. Dave
and Drez.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
Dave and Drez. And since he already did it, Dave and Greg Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they doing a different version of what he was doing. Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
I love him. And you got to add Yummy on there too. Like, you got to do a joint with Yummy.
You know, that's Dave, because you know it's going to be something melodic. So that's why I said you got to put Q-Tip in there or the Umar. You know, God rest his soul. If Dilla was here, you'd put Dilla in there, of course.
Right.
You know, I mean, but who else could you? Apollo Brown.
Yeah.
I hear that.
I could even hear him with Kev Brown, bro.
Yeah,
couple of Kev Brown joints.
Yep.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah.
All right, Bo.
Yeah.
How about you? What would you do?
Yeah, at first I was like, there's no way it could be limited to a single producer. Like, he just has a lot of style, and I don't know if one producer could handle everything. And so my mind immediately went to, I think, the four that I almost mentioned right away, with Dilla and et cetera. But I think one thing that's going through my mind right now is I'd love to like see what Questlove would do, like orchestrating, like not solo producing it, but orchestrating it, bringing the artists in.
EP, executive producer.
Yeah.
I'm gonna cheat and throw no ID in there on the producer end.
Ooh.
Got a representation.
You know, thinking about because of how soulful he is and how soulful Dave can be.
Or shoot, even Dave Doug. Even Doug, rock
exactly.
Doug.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. I'm gonna be the eyeball of the group and say that album's pretty short, maybe 10 songs, one producer. I heard De La Soul on this joint produced by Crisis. I don't know if y'all know Crisis.
Yeah, I heard on Crisis.
Yeah, Big Mouth Part 2.
Yeah,
Big Mouth. I thought Dave they both sounded dope on there, but I thought Dave sounded great. And I think Crisis has a way of, I don't know, I just like his style. He has a way of being really boom bap, but soulful at the same time. And just a little different. Like, there's just something a little different about his production. And that's how I see Dave. Just a little something different all the time. So I'm going to say Crisis. I'm going to say either no features, and it's just Crisis doing all the beats, Dave just pouring his heart out, or you have to have Yummy on there a little bit.
Yeah.
Or the other thought I had, almost like a Ghostface Raekwon album, but you do it with Mike G from Jungle Brothers.
Mike G.
I don't know why. I just feel like Mike G would add a good energy, you know, because Dave is so smooth and laid back. Mike G has that too, but is also, you know, just has a little bit more energy in his delivery. I don't know. I think it might be something special. So that's what I'm going for.
And I mean, too, I think it would be sing-songy, too, because Dave can sing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'll definitely do a couple of joints where he's singing, because he definitely got that.
Yeah. Oh, and go get Andre 3000.
Ooh.
That'd be dope.
Oh, yeah. Joint with Pharoah.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. Pharoah, too. Yep. See, Pharoah? Io, come on, Io. Yeah. Hey, Io, come join my label over here, man. Let's just join with me, man.
Listen, I'm trying to be a sign profile with the executive.
You know what I'm saying? For real.
Come on, man.
All right, while we're on our executive producer mode, I'm curious to know your thoughts as you saw the Daisy Age experience, I think it was called, how that unfolded and what you thought about if you checked it out. This was the tribute that they did to De La Soul and to Dave specifically that night. I think it was two Thursdays ago. The night when all their music hit streaming platforms, they were at Webster Theater in New York City, and they had DJs, you know, scratching, doing their thing, playing sets, and then, you know, De La Soul performed, and others were there performing. So I'm curious to know if you saw it, you know, just what was that night like for you all? Jirai, you want to go first on this one?
Man, listen, I ain't know Moni Love had that much energy. Moni Love need to be everybody's like hype man, hype woman on stage.
Yeah.
Like her energy and the love that she was showing.
Yeah.
She knew all the words to all the songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when Queen came out, the thing I liked about it the most was that it was so celebratory. And it felt like, and I know they did sets, but it felt like it was impromptu. It felt like it was just like, we're going to play some joints, and then Paz got on the mic, and then Mace got on to say some stuff, and it was like, you know what? We here for the music. You know what I mean? We here to celebrate Dave. It felt, I don't know, man. It took me, because I never got a chance to see them live, and that was one of the things I really wanted to do, and that was on my bucket list. But being able to see that and see the emotion, too, because they were emotional. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were emotional, and everybody was on stage. And it was a couple times, you know, with Mace and Paz kind of broke down a little bit. Mm. But when the songs came and it was like, yo, throw something on, let's go. You know what I mean? It took it back to hip hop and kind of why we enjoy this culture. And a lot of people don't talk about De La enough, but they're kind of like vanguards of this culture, man, and what it's really all about. So I love seeing it. I watched the thing like three times, man.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. Yeah. Who else? Bo, you want to chime in?
Yeah, sure. I stayed pretty busy. I got 7-year-old twins, and just it's hard to make time to enjoy, you know, events like this. But that day I was like, this is so important. Like I've got to block everything out. So like I tuned in right at 5 or whenever the live stream started before it switched over to the other live stream where the people kept talking. but before the, you know, De La got on stage and people were rapping. But yeah, I would agree with Jirai. It was like, I looked at Amber and she was sitting next to me, my wife, on the couch, and I was like, this is historic. This is a moment that will be remembered by a lot of people in hip hop, a defining moment by a defining group of artists, and not just De La, but like all the people that they I never heard numbers on how many people were streaming that, but I'm sure it was huge and all over the world. It wasn't, you know, not just in the US. Their energy, like the energy there was so healing. Just to see like Drez up on stage next to him on one side and Moni on the other.
Yeah.
I felt like I was there, even though I'm just watching through a screen. And there are moments in my life where that are really defining for me in terms of my love for hip hop and going to my first show. And seeing people breaking and rapping and like, I want to be part of this. I don't quite know what it is yet, but this is my energy. This is what I want to be part of. And it seems like that was celebrated. Yeah. And Dave's role in creating that energy and sustaining and fostering that energy was really held in stark relief, which was also pretty sad. I mean, to see this huge part. I mean, if you had to have like a Mount Rushmore of hip hop with a few more faces on it, Dave would be up there. And it's like, this face is up there, but we can't experience what he created or he creates from this point forward. We can only experience what he created while he was here.
Yeah.
Which, thank God, it was a beautiful body of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well said, man.
Well said. Well said. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Man. Iomas, how about you, man? What was that night like for you watching?
I was studying, man. I missed.
Oh, you were.
Yeah, oh, I didn't. Right.
Yeah.
I didn't even catch the. I watched it a couple days after.
Yeah.
Like during the weekend, I sat there and watched. I watched it on my phone. And yeah, man. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful experience. Just being able, like, just to see Paz and Maceo's love. It would be like that if somebody that was close to me that passed, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like God forbid, let's say, like, I don't want to name no names because I don't believe in like speaking that stuff into existence, but brothers that's close to me, man, if they was the past, that's how it felt. That's how it felt like that. Cause I grew up on De La, man. Like they are very instrumental in how I even approach my art. I remember like going to De La. I've been to so many De La Soul shows, man, that I stopped going just to watch, but I would go to study.
Mm.
I would have like a notebook. I'm like, yo, they did this, they did that. And then when I had a show, I would try out everything from the way they dress to how they control the stage. Like I learned a lot from De La. And so being able, and I love like Paz's energy on stage, like just seem very comfortable on stage. Like he know what he doing. They like architects of like live performances. Like they know what they doing. So it's always a pleasure to see that. And it was good seeing Moni and Queen Latifah and Drez. I was just hurt that Q-Tip wasn't there. You know what I mean? I think Jarobi was there. Was Jarobi there?
Yeah.
But it hurt me that Q-Tip wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? And I think he was like the only one from, in Africa. Africa wasn't there. So, or at least I didn't see him. You know what I'm saying? So I was looking, you know, I was hoping to see everybody there. I was thinking, and then, you know what I thought about too? I thought about what you said till a long time ago, when you kept trying to push the Native Tongue Tour, when we interviewed Drez, and he was like, in my mind, I was like, this is what a Native Tongue show would look like.
Yeah.
Like, it would be crazy. Like, it would be just like that. You
so
know
much
what
love. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I could see them flowing in and out of, it wouldn't be like a set. They would just flow in and out of each other's set. You know what I mean? So that's what it felt like, man. And I was the only critique that I had, I was mad that they were playing other people's stuff. I wish they would just play Native Tongues. Like, why y'all playing all these other, I don't want to hear that. Like, I want to hear Native Tongue. Like, let's Queen Latifah. That should have been, that was my only critique. Like, dude, what are y'all doing, bro? Like,
I'm gonna say more on that in a second. And before I have you chime in, just a couple things. Sean O'Neill, shout out to Sean tuning in tonight. I forgot, De La Soul's performing on the Tonight Show tonight. So when you're finished with this, I think it'll be on, you know, Eastern time at least. It should be on soon. So so make sure you check that out. De La Soul's gonna be on there. And also Iomas, our friend Francesca. What's up, Francesca?
Hey.
Said Q-Tip is in some of the early photos from the night. but for some reason he never took the stage. So apparently he was there. So that makes me feel better too. Because I was like, why is Q-Tip here?
You know? But, you know what I mean?
You know, but they were telling him to clear the stage. So maybe Tip was like, all right, I'm not going, you know. but he was there, so that's good. So
that's dope. That's dope.
Pro, how about you, man? What was your experience with that night like?
Pretty much the same as everybody else, I think, but it took me back to instantly back to like our Monday nights in Chicago. Our Monday nights in Chicago looked exactly like that every Monday night.
Yeah.
From being on the stage to the people that was in there to the people at close up to the stage.
Yeah.
Every Monday night it was like that, right? And we would have to, I know, you did too. I would have to be at work at 7 o'clock. That place wouldn't even let out to 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, man. Yeah. And we'd be there till they close.
Exactly.
And turn around, get on the bus or the train and go right to work.
Yeah.
But it just reminded me of the camaraderie that hip hop brings when you have everybody in the same with the same energy under the same roof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can I can imagine what a Native Tongue tour would look like too.
Yeah.
Seeing that on the stage. Now, you know, those types of events or performances, like, you judge them differently because there's a lot of emotion involved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So with that emotion, breath control is not the same as it normally would be because you got the emotion plus the adrenaline.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Of the moment and stuff like that. So I look at those things a little differently. I was glad to see, you know, the people that I saw, you know, Moni stay on it, of course. Yeah. And listen, wasn't many of us talking about it, but Latifah ain't missed a step.
Ain't no
either.
Slouch nope. either. Yeah.
She ain't missed a step either. No slouch, she is bro. Incredible presence still on the microphone, man.
Facts.
Incredible presence, man. I just was happy to see it. It was just like, you know, man, this is what it was. It was as if, you know, Mike hit the last shot against Utah all over again, man.
Yeah.
And we won six of them.
For sure. Man, that night was special for me because I was watching on my phone while I was, you know, texting you guys, Pro and Bo and Joe was chiming in a lot, Joe November. And so we were like texting in real time, you know, was that Busta? Was that, you know? And I remember thinking, like, man, I was with you, Iomas. I was like, why are they playing this music? Like, I think I heard Biggie's entire discography, which is cool, but I don't want to hear that. I wanted to hear Native Tongues all night, you know, all night. And so I was like, I mean, this is cool. But then the women of the Native Tongues took over. And after they performed, after Moni and Queen Latifah, it changed. The whole vibe changed.
That was a Hinge moment, yeah.
Yeah, it was. They just kind of said, nope, this night's going to be dope, and it starts with us, and here we go. And from ladies that moment first. On, I was like, yeah, ladies first. Mm-hmm. And I love, Bo, you mentioned this. I was like, Drez was like metaphorically, like holding up Paz on one side while Moni was like holding him up on the other side. Because you could tell Paz was emotional, like you said, bro. Like, you could just tell, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And having like, I feel like those two were like his rock. I mean, there were other people up there, obviously, but I feel like those two. And I remember when I first saw Drez, the immediate thought was like, oh man, Drez should perform. Like, he should perform a couple songs. And obviously he should do, you know, the hit joint, Choice Is Yours. And so when he had him come on and do Flavor of the Month, I was like, all right, that's cool, but we got to hear Choice Is Yours. And then they cut the beat out, and I was like, oh man, you got to do the part. You have to do the part. And then he brought the beat back on, got everyone low. And it was such a fun moment in my house. Cause I'm not a real emotional person. Like, I'm the guy in the back, like, just kind of observing everything. But when engine number 9 and that beat dropped, I was just like, I was rocking out, and my wife had walked out of the bathroom right as that beat dropped. And I was just like really into it. And she was like, all right, I don't know what's going on in there. That was a fun moment, man.
Make you feel like a kid again.
Yeah, really. Man. I just kind of lost all. Yeah, that was dope, man. And just to, you know, like a few of you have mentioned, kind of seeing what a tour, a Native Tongues tour would look like, you know, just having them off there, you know, showing us
opening.
That's dope. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, bro? I love how Pro interject us in the deals.
What'd you say, bro?
I said, with us opening.
With us opening.
I always felt like I was a member. Like, I always wanted to be a member of two crews, man. Boot Camp Click and Native Tongues. That was it. That was it, bro. So I just feel like I'm an honorary Boot Camp Click member, and I'm a Native Tongue. They just don't know it yet, but I'm an honorary member, bro. Straight up.
That's dope, man. That's dope. Yeah. Hey, listen, before we end on one of the most impossible, most challenging things of your life, I thought we would just go around, and if you could just say just a word or two about what you think Dave and De La Soul's legacy will be, either for you personally, what they mean to you personally, or just what you would say they mean to the world. Because for me personally, their voices, they're just their voice. I mean, I love their beats, I love their rhymes, I love their albums, but just hearing their voices as I was a kid was, they were just comforting voices. Like anytime they put out a new album, I had to get it. And just hearing them rhyme was just a comfort to me, you know? And it wasn't like that there was all kinds of stressful anxiety things going on. No, it was just like, they were just a very comforting voice. And to this day they are, it's almost like, you know, when I get a text from my brother, you know, it's like, it's a comfort, you know, because it's like close to home. And that's how they always have been to me. Like, it's always been like, it's De La. They just make me feel at home. And I think that's, for me personally, that's going to be their you know, legacy for me, is that they're always going to have that place in my life where when I put them on, I can just relax and be comforted, you know? I think that's part of their legacy for the world too, but that's just for me personally. Who else wants to jump in?
That was beautiful too.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks, man.
Rappers to me, like the ones that I admired, were always also teachers. And teachers do more than just speak. They model a way to be human, I think. And I think for me, Dave and Paz and Maceo and really the whole Native Tongues crew modeled a way to be human that I want to exemplify as well. Like, very intelligent and, you know, well-versed and understanding of social issues, but also just really know how to have fun, be down to earth, really have something to say when you rhyme, when you speak, like, don't waste words. And they will continue to be, and that's the great thing, because even death can't stop them from teaching and being that exemplification of humanity and artistry that I want to emulate as well. So I think that's part of a huge part of their legacy.
Yeah.
And Dave. True.
Yeah. For sure. Who else wants to jump in?
I'll go. For me, De La made it okay to be yourself, and to use hip hop as a form and a means to really express who you are, especially when it's a time when you know, there's a lot of gangster rap things and a lot of things going on. When I saw De La and Native Tongues as a whole, but when I saw De La, it made me feel like, oh, word, like I can be myself and still create music that's creative, that's lyrical at a very, very high level. And it was for me, it was like akin to jazz, and how jazz music is so, if you're making jazz, or for instance, if you're making hip hop and you're really in tune, then you understand the intricacies of what's going on. But at the same time, if you don't, and you just kind of on the outside looking in, you can have fun. And De La really exemplified that for me, and it made it okay for me to be like, oh, well, I can rhyme about this. Oh, yeah. I can talk about what's really going on in my life and what's going on around me, and it doesn't have to look like what everybody else is doing, and nor do I. And so that was the impact for me. with De La and Dave kind of spearheading that movement. And even at a time when they kind of got pigeonholed with the whole Daisy Age and all of that stuff, and they flipped it when stakes is high, and they was like, okay, you know, we can still do this and be ourselves. And I think that's what hip-hop culture kind of gives us, and they exemplify that to the T. So that's what I always remember about their lives, because they had the freedom to be themselves. It showed me that I could be myself. Sure. So, yeah. Sure.
It's dope too. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's dope. And beautiful, man.
Yeah, man.
You want to go pro or you want me to go first?
Oh, yeah, I can go, man. I can remember back when that 3 Feet High and Rising came out, you know, NWA was still really hot. And I had parents that didn't censor us. You know, we was allowed to listen to whatever. As long as we wasn't saying it, we was allowed to listen to it. When Dayline Tribe came, my parents was like, you should listen to this more. Because, you know, it wasn't as aggressive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
And I guess, you know, what I didn't know then too, of course, you know, that, you know, with the samples and stuff. So they were recognizing a lot more of the songs than I was, you know, too. So I think one of the things that resonates with me with the group is that one word is safe. They was always safe, bro. It was always safe. Even if you hear them, you know, in the later albums, and you know, you might hear an explicit something here or there, but not enough to even where you can really point it out to where, you know what I mean? Like, you have to feel like, man, I don't know if I should be playing this right now, you know, depending on who's around. Cause you know, I'm still kind of like that. I'm still mindful, but when the kids get in the car, oh, it's daylight. It's on 10. I'm turning everything up. You know, so the safe is a big word for me with them, man. And I've always appreciated that within the crew. And Jirock, and second that, your notion on them being yourself. Yeah. And IO, you absolutely right, because that's the one thing why you and I have gotten close over the years from the first day I met you, was because you just knew that IO was this was a unique brother. There was nobody else like this brother. Like, you know what I mean? And that's just like, that's what the native tongue represents. And especially De La to me, it's like, there's nobody else like them or Dave.
Facts.
Yeah. Facts. True.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's everything. Y'all hit like everything, like what Bo said about them being intellectuals. Like other rappers be like, you know what I'm saying? And but it always in interviews, man, they was very like, you know what I'm saying, articulate and very like, you know, mature in the way they handled themselves, you know, like, so that's one thing I admired about them. And then they gave me permission to be myself in a city that's like gangster. Like Chicago is super gang bang, this, that, and the third. And I was like, I didn't have to be that. And they gave me permission just to be me, you know what I'm saying? And then the one thing that stand out to me, and I want to live this out of my life, is they genuine love for each other, man. Like, they really, like every show that I would go see them, I was amazed at how much, you can tell how much they loved each other.
And I agree.
And that's how I feel about brothers that's close to me. Like,
yeah,
y'all brothers and Profound and, you know what I'm saying, Till and Bo and Joe Stowe, like, and even brothers I met out here, like Direct, and shout out to Direct and shout out to Verse. Like, I felt like I grew up with them brothers, you know what I mean? And my brother Ron in Detroit, my family in Detroit, like, when I say I love people, I genuinely love people, you know what I'm saying? And not just through my words, but through my actions. And I feel like De La Soul definitely, embodied that. And Cheska and Jason too, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's my family, you know? And I want everybody that's close to me to know that I love them, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I think that's what De La Soul embodied. They embodied that.
Yeah.
They didn't just say they loved each other, but they showed it through their actions. And I think that's just a beautiful thing.
You know? Yeah.
And so that's, I think that's one of their biggest legacies. And I saw an interview, and this is the last thing I'll say. I saw an interview where they was on Sway in the Morning.
Mm-hmm.
And Maceo shouted out the Lox, because he was like, yeah, that's like the only group that I see that show the same love amongst each other. They ain't never broke up. They still together. And he was like, man, y'all hold each other tight. Like, hold each other tight while y'all still got each other. And that's what I want to do. Like, because we don't know, man. Time is not, you know, tomorrow's not promised. So I want everybody that I'm close with to know that I love y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, I genuinely love each and every one of y'all and everybody that I mentioned. And those that's close to me that know who, you know, that I'm, you know, that's very close to me and like dear to my heart. I want everybody to know that I just genuinely love them. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the legacy that De La Soul and the lesson, going back to what Bo said about teachers, that's the lessons that I learned from them, you know, through their music and through them as individuals. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, because I think as to tag on to that, as men, especially, not that De La Soul is just for men, but we do need examples of men having friends and displaying love to one another and take a look at genuine friendship, because men often isolate themselves from other men.
Absolutely. And
it's not good. I mean, you get into some very antisocial behaviors in that way. So to have this, like, somebody that's, you know, thicker than family, even, like, my wife and I often talk about, like, no disrespect to our own blood family, because, you know, I would die for them, but sometimes you make your family by the relationships you form outside the blood relationships. And so, and we adopted my children. And so families can be formed in 100 different ways and in ways that people belong. And I just think as men, we really, we need that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree 100%, 1,000%.
Well said once again. Yeah. Well, fellas, in the spirit of the NAACP or NCAA, rather, all these A's and N's and C's, the big dance coming up. March Madness happening, the spirit of hip hop. You're always, you know, saying what's better, this or that. You know, it's all for fun. It's a celebratory type of thing. But I thought we would end on once and for all establishing the best De La Soul album. And the judges and critics have boiled it down to the final four. All right. So the first matchup in the final four is the Grind Date up against De La Soul is Dead. All right. So this is game number one. We have four people on the call plus me, so I'll be the tiebreaker if necessary. Profound, who you got?
Grind Date.
Grind Date. Hey. Bo Brown, who you got?
I'm also going Grind
Date. You already know what Bo about to say, man.
Yo, I'm gonna go with Grind Date, but shout Grind out to Paul, because his drum work and production on that De La Soul Dead was incredible.
I almost, it's over, but you can comment if you want. You can pick which one, but you don't have to, because it's already over. The game's over. It's like, you know, you're down 20 with 2 seconds. You want to go ahead and shoot the shot?
I have an intimate relationship with De La Soul is Dead.
I do too, man.
Specifically because of them skits, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I literally used to quote them skits in class and get kicked out of butt crust. Get over here. You
know? I think I would have voted with you too. I think I would have been De La Soul is Dead. All right. Okay. All right. And then the next two up. Stakes is high against Blue Mind State.
Oh my God, too.
So, bro, who you got?
Stakes is high, man. Come on, man.
Stakes is high. Okay. Bo Brown.
Yeah, I mean, stakes is high. Blue Mind State's growing on me. I feel like it's a it's an album. I don't need to go into it, but it's an album that like they really were able to showcase the album they wanted to make. Yeah, so I'm gonna go Stakes Is High. But.
All right, Aromas.
I'll say Stakes Is High for today. Balloon Mind State is my album, bro. Like, I can't front on that album, bro. And I'm mad so you good. Put them two up against each other, bro. I would say Stakes Is High today, but Balloon Mind State is a that's, you know what? Balloon Mind State, bro.
He's changing.
Balloon
Mind State. This is his vote.
It's somebody's got
to
represent.
2-1. All right, Jirai.
Man, Stakes Is High. Balloon Mind State.
I was going for Balloon Mind State. Dang.
Balloon Mind State is dope because of the musicianship and the jazz work they were doing in there.
So
and,
good.
A lot of people don't know about that, but Stakes Is High is just... Stakes Is High is probably in my top five hip-hop albums of all time.
Stakes Is High is a banger.
It's up there for me. Blue Mind State's probably in my top one. All right, here we go.
Here this guy go, man.
No, right? It's all
bro, we'll start with you, bro. Oh. In the finals, if you can't see this, if you're listening to the podcast, in the final game, we have Stakes Is High against the Grind Date.
You killing me.
Is it high allowed?
Can you pick half and half?
We got to decide once and for all. This is it.
I'm going overtime with this one.
You can say it's an overtime. That's fine.
You're stakes killing me, Till. You're killing me, Till.
Stakes Is High.
Stakes Is High. Okay. Stakes Is High.
I think it's the last second shot.
I think so, too.
Stakes Is
Bo, High. Oh, Bo, you got Stakes Is High?
Yeah. As much as I, you know, speak so highly of Grind Date, like, Stakes Is High. It's just a masterpiece.
Stakes Is High.
Stakes Is High.
All right, it's settled, everyone. Everyone out there, we voted. It's above board. The best De La Soul album ever is Balloon Mind State. This is the best album. We voted Stakes Is High.
This is like old school old championship series.
Stakes Is High album by De La Soul.
Man, fantastic. I wish we could end with Exodus, man, where Dave was like, what did he say? He was like, heroes? Something? Nah. Just regular contributors.
Yes.
I just love that, man. I listen to Exodus like 1,000 times, bro. That's my joint, bro.
Before we give our shout-outs, we're going to give our shout-outs. And, I mean, I'm just going to shout-out Dave. But
Me too.
I wanted to show one thing that I did. On Thursdays, shout-out to Brandon Isaac. If y'all know Brandon Isaac, Black Star. Brandon, we've had Brandon on the show before. He's a really dope hip-hop artist. But he does a program here in Cincinnati. I help him out on Thursdays. And we hang out with middle school students and do, like, art with them and all kinds of cool stuff. But anyway, we did his art project today. And this was the project I did. I don't know. Can y'all see that?
Yeah.
And I just wanted to speak this. This was Dave. If you're listening to the podcast, you can't see it. But it says this God theory overcomes the worst of weathers. Wow. And it is from trying people.
Yes.
And Dave said this. And, you know, art is subjective. So I'm not sure exactly what he meant by this. But for me, it's like he's trying to recognize something greater than himself, but in the most humble way, because what is greater than ourselves might just be the spirit that's within us. So like this God theory, like maybe it's not even a God, maybe it's just a theory that we all have, you know, consciously decided that we're going to believe in together, but there's power in that even. So like, even in acknowledging something greater than himself, he also acknowledges it with humility. And I don't know. I just, this line always stuck out to me. This God theory overcomes the worst of weathers. And during the thing a couple of weeks ago that we were talking about that they did at Webster Hall, where they were, you know, doing all the performances and just celebrating Dave. I forget who it was. I think Drez, maybe. I forget. But someone said, talked about a tear. Do you remember this, Bo? Because Bo, you and I commented at the same time. It was something about a tear.
Yeah.
Let every tear be a thank you.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. Yeah.
That really hit me, you know. Yeah. And so I just wanted to kind of leave that there. Beautiful. You know, that even if you don't acknowledge there's something greater than ourselves, you can acknowledge that there's something greater than ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, even if you don't believe in that, you can still acknowledge it in a way that is humble enough. You know, I don't know. I just, that's dope to me. So any thoughts on that before we?
I mean, Dave quote God a lot. You know what I'm saying? What'd he say? Y'all pray to hot rods and not God. You know what I mean? Like, what was the other one? What was the other one from Stakes Is High?
Yeah.
He said trust something about God. Yeah. Investing in fantasies and not God. Like, right. You know, he always made a reference to the Most High. You know what I mean? So that's another thing I love about Dave is the spiritual side of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that connected that he had with the Most, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, and that's what it's about, your personal, how you relate to the Most, right? You know? That's dope.
Yeah, calling it a God theory really acknowledges the humility that we have to have in the presence of something so much greater than ourselves. Like, there's so little we understand about reality and relationships. So to call it a theory is not a slap in the face to God. It's a recognition of our humanity, but a willingness to say, like, there may be something that I'm not seeing here. And it seems like believing in something bigger than myself allows me to keep moving forward and trust that there's a plan.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, for sure. Yeah, y'all. Listen, thank you all for contributing to this conversation. I want to give a shout out to True Goy the Dove tonight. That's all I want to shout out. Pro, who you want to shout out?
Man, I'm shouting out Plug too. That's how we do it.
Almas.
Shouting out Dave Jellicure, man. Straight up Long Island's finest, man.
Let's see if Jirai can come up with a different name for him. Jirai, who you want to shout out tonight?
Thank you, Dave. That's all I'm gonna say. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. And Bo Brown.
Thank you, True Boy from Strong Island.
There you go. There you go. Hey, listen, we should be back next Thursday at 7 p.m. We tentatively have Sadat X from the great Brand Nubian coming on the show at 7 p.m. Not our normal 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Eastern. We also have Kid Abstract coming up. We have Neek. If y'all don't know this dude, he's a Chicago MC, super dope. We got him coming up soon. So we got some really, really dope artists coming up. So stay tuned. Much love, peace, rest and power, and much love and comfort to all of Dave's friends and family. And on that note, as always, we say...
Peace. 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 Peace.
Peace. Peace. Peace. Peace. Peace.